And certainly we have yours, you have our support. And Tina will tell you more about when we're going to meet. And certainly we want to be involved in keeping abreast of some of the activities that you're doing.
Thank you.
So I'd like to thank our listeners, and I'd also like to thank our guests today from Family Forward and from the Center for Intercultural Organizing. you are indeed doing yeoman's work out there. Thank you very much for being such wonderful advocates for the general public out there, because if it weren't for you, then some of these things wouldn't have passed. The everyday worker feels as though they're not being represented out there. And so again, thank you very much. Again, the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at the Orion AFSCME Bill Lucy Building. Our meeting is at 6 o'clock, and it is open to all comers. So thank you very much, and have a great day, and holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor, along with North Portland Community Building Group, Proper, of the We Can Do It Together community concert. Local politicians, community activists, faith groups, and artists will join in a day of unity, song, and prayer in Kenton Park on Saturday, August 8th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. This concert will feature a variety of local artists that will rally for unity in this time of unrest. Again, that's the We Can Do It Together community concert, Saturday, August 8th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Kenton Park at North Kilpatrick and Delaware in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Billy Rose was a low rider. Billy Rose was a night fighter. Billy Rose knew trouble like the sound of his own name. Busted on a drunken charge, driving someone else's car. The local midnight sheriff's claim to fame. In an Arizona jail, there is some who tell the tale. A Billy fought the sergeant for some milk that he demanded, knowing they'd remain the boss, knowing he would pay the cost. They saw he was severely reprimanded. Me, just take me home. Come and lay, help us lay young Billy down.
Good evening. This is KBOO at 90.7. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Ruth Kovach. Thank you for tuning in. It's always glad to know that everyone is still interested in prison issues, just as I have been for many years now. Tonight, I'm going to have a conversation with a friend of mine who has a story to tell, Debbie Parkins, and I believe that she's on the line now.
Hi, Ruth.
Well, hi, Debbie. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
We're on the air, and it's live, and it's good to hear from you. Debbie, while I've got you on the phone, I'll review for a few of our listeners. Debbie's brother, Steve, was incarcerated for some time, for 8 years. He's been out about 2 years. Is that right, Debbie?
Today is his two-year anniversary.
Today is his two-year anniversary. And I just thought I'd do a little update on your brother, Steve. We always want to know the transition period and so on. Whatever he went in for, he did his time, his life has changed, his ideas have changed or whatever. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But how's he doing now? Tell us.
Well, quite honestly, there's been an ups and downs. I guess there's times when we think things could be better.
Well, what kind of downs does he have? Is it his health or his attitude or what?
Well, a lot of the struggles come from he lives in a very rural area, and he does have many years of probation. And some of the things that are hard are getting to and from probation appointments, other classes that he needs to go to, and getting to and from jobs.
So for a little review for those listeners who may not recall that we've been following Steve, he's in on an SO, a sex offender charge, isn't that correct?
That's true.
And how long ago was that he was convicted?
This has been over 10 years ago.
Okay, and so he served 8 and he's been out 2. And now because he's on some of the SO lists, he is limited. For instance, he goes to a particular church where SO people are accepted. Is that true?
Not currently, no.
Okay. What do you mean not currently? How long has it been since he hasn't been in that status?
No, he hasn't been going to any type of religious types of churches.
Uh-huh.
No.
So it's not a question of what kind of church is he going to. He's just not going right now. Is that right?
Right.
I see.
Right.
I see.
Yeah.
And does he have employment?
He does have employment. It's a little off and on. He does have some drug and alcohol struggles, and he has had some dirty UAs that have turned up. Mm. So that gets him, can get him a probation violation, and then you end up in jail for that.
So how long has, when he winds up in jail, is it for like overnight or 30 days or what?
It can be anywhere from a week, 10 days, or 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me something good that's happening to you. Does he have good family support?
He does have good family support. He has a place, nice place to live. He does work. He has a great work ethic, and the people that he works for do appreciate that.
Is he struggling with alcohol? Or when you say he's struggling, is they go on benders, or he just is trying very hard to completely abstain, or what's the status of that struggle?
Well, his struggle is that he is not allowed to, under his conditions of being on probation, but it's something that he enjoys doing, and they do test for that. And when you come up with alcohol in your system, then you do go to jail for that.
And that's happened a few times in the last 2 years that his couldn't pass the test. And so
right.
They would incarcerate him for a month or how long?
Yes, it can be anywhere from 10 days to a month for violating those.
It's basically an attempt to dry him out more than anything else. I mean, it's not really like convicting him of a felon. He's just put back in a lockdown to dry out. Is that about what it amounts to?
It's to punish you for not complying with your probation terms.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does that jeopardize his job, or does he have to come out and start all over again, finding a new place to work?
Yeah, it can. It definitely doesn't help to be locked up when you're supposed to be at work.
Right.
Luckily, one of the jobs he has right at this time, like I said, they do really enjoy his work ethic and that he's a hardworking person and do want him to come back. He is currently in jail right at this moment. And that was due to not checking in with a probation officer. And you get at least 10 days, I believe, for that. Could be longer. And so he is right now paying that debt for not checking in with his probation officer.
Well, and, you know, he's lucky he has a family that's supporting him. You know, right or wrong, he's still our boy, and you still love him, and you help him get through these challenges, right?
We do, and it actually, I know how hard that he tries, and I know that he feels like he's constantly disappointing us. And honestly, I feel sad because I know that really he's disappointing himself, and it's harder on him, honestly, probably, than any of the rest of us.
I would think so. Is he considered an alcoholic, or he just drinks too much?
I would say yes, he's considered an alcoholic.
And is he going somewhere for help for that, like AA or something?
No, I don't believe that he is. And he didn't, the 8 years that he was in prison, that was not something that was required of him even then.
Did he manage to get alcohol while he was in prison for 8 years, during those 8 years?
He could have, but he didn't.
Oh, that's good. I asked because I know they can. It's not always easy, but unfortunately, there's a few corrupt people in the system that if there's an alcoholic that's incarcerated, if they have enough money and the right connections, they can stay drunk the whole time. But he didn't do that.
No, he didn't do that. And you can pretty much get anything you want while you're in prison.
That's right.
And yeah, he did not do that. But then again, it just shows me also that you can lock people away for, 8 years. Mm. And if you haven't identified and worked out the problem and tried to handle the problem, that it's still going to be the same problem when you get out. So,
that is positively incredible. I spoke to many prisoners on different occasions because I've been visiting prisons and prisoners for quite a few years now. And I'll say to them, you know, something about their drug or alcohol use. And I say, and how long have you been addicted? And they'll say, 9 years. And I say, and how long have you been incarcerated? And they say, 10 years. You know, in other words, being locked up did not provide the answer. It's not like just lock them up and throw away the key and don't let them have any and they'll get over it. They'll dry out. It doesn't happen like that. There's too many ways to sustain these bad habits. And I think that all the ways that help them sustain these bad habits can only be described as corruption. And it's a very sad comment on our system. But that's the way it is.
Right. But I do have to say that, you know, each time, you know, there's always another tomorrow is what I feel like. And there's always time and room to improve. And we certainly haven't given up on him. you know, we're going to still be here and help him with his struggles. And he's my brother. I love him.
Well, that's good news, because there is no doubt that when a person has the challenge of drugs or alcohol, what they need more than anything else is family support. And I know because I know you and I know your mother, that he's getting some support that is probably making the difference between a really horrific situation for him and kind of dealing with it.
Right. So.
So yeah. Is he working?
He is working.
What kind of work does he do?
He logs. He's a logger. And he does work hard.
Does he know you're on the air with me tonight, or?
I'm not sure if he does or not.
Well, you know, it'll be available on the web if he wants to go back to it. So we'll both give him a good shout out that to just hang in there and do the best he can. And that's all we can ask of anybody who's meeting a challenge like that, is just do the best you can.
Right. Well, and I have to thank you, Ruth, for, 10 years ago is when I first met you. And
that's right. My first visit to a prison, I went with you to visit your brother.
And, you know, it's people like you that are interested in these issues that help the rest of us that are out there struggling, and family members that are struggling with this, that know that there's somebody out there that does care.
Right.
And so
there's two
really
organizations I know you want to talk about tonight, but first I'm going to remind the folks that this is KBOO at 90.7 and Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Ruth Kovash, and I'm talking to Debbie Parkins, who is the sister of Steve, and we're just doing an update on Steve. So what organizations have helped him?
Well, I can tell you the organizations that have helped us as a family. And one of them, when we first started out on this journey 10 years ago, was Oregon Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the Citizens United for Rehabilitation of Errants. And they provide support and publication to help families and friends kind of navigate their way through the Oregon prison system.
Right. That's spelled C-U-R-E, and tell what that stands for once more, because there may be people listening who are looking for some support group that they should turn to. You know, they don't know what to do about a problem in their family that no one is giving any attention to. They could contact CURE. Tell us about that.
Sure. Once again, it's Citizens United for Rehabilitation of Errants. And like I said, they really are an excellent support group for when you're first starting out with and not knowing quite what to do. You have a family member incarcerated. You really do kind of need to have somebody help you navigate the Oregon prison system, and they're an excellent source for that.
And there's another organization. Haven't you had some help from Phoenix Rising Transition?
Phoenix Rising, we haven't personally worked with, but I have heard excellent things about them.
That's a group that Harry Olson is a founder and does a lot of work with, that I would always recommend to someone struggling with these same problems of addiction and just getting on the right path. Also, the reentry program, when a person is released to transition into street life, Phoenix Rising Transition is an organization that helps folks with employment and housing and so on, if they've been in touch with them. And those who are incarcerated, and I know some prisoners are listening, that if you're incarcerated, if you get in touch with Phoenix while you're still in prison, you're going to be able to get some help from them too.
Yep. And then the other one that helped us to focus some energy into was Partnership for Safety and Justice.
Yes, aren't they fine? Oh my!
Yeah, they're a really great group. When you first start out, you have a lot of energy and a lot of anger, a lot of Just a lot of sadness, and you don't know quite what to do
and
with it all.
And frustration, yeah. It's a feeling that you're all alone.
Frustration.
And they help you overcome that feeling that you're alone. There's help
they
there.
They do. They have a lot of ways for you to really project that energy. And they're really great about having you get involved with different things. And they're... main focus is working with people convicted of crime, even survivors of crime, and the families of both to advocate for policies that make Oregon's approach to public safety more effective and just. And they do lots of legislative work. And I really feel that they were really the ones that got the Oregon governor signing the ban the box legislation,
which was a very big thing. Let me interrupt you to tell folks, if they don't know what ban the box is for many years when a person who had been convicted of a felon and incarcerated would go for employment, there would be a box on the application for employment at the very original interview, even, which would say, have you ever been convicted of a felon? And they would have to put an X in the box that said, yes, they had. And many employers who aren't aware of just how much and how important change can be, and that a lot of folks convicted of a felon can get their lives straight again, they'd see that X in the box, and that was the end of the interview. And so Ban the Box was a big movement that said, now that is not the first thing that a prospective employer who's doing an interview, it's not the first thing they find out about you, is that you are convicted of a felon. It's when he's ready to hire you, because everything else in the interview makes it seem that you're a promising candidate. And then they ask, have you been convicted of a felon? And they... judge you accordingly. So that's been a lot of progress that we've worked with employers for a long time on.
Yeah. Yep. So their Partnership for Safety and Justice really have gotten a lot of attention to some of those issues. And they're also, they work a lot with trying to change how Oregon treats youth as adults within the criminal justice system.
Oh, yes, that's a big issue.
And I think that's very important.
It certainly is. Now, that's easy to find on the web. Of course, I'm always aware that many people don't have the web or access to it. You can go to the library and try it, or you can look it up in the telephone book or find out. But contacting Partnerships for Safety and Justice could be very helpful to you if you're dealing with these issues that we've just been talking about.
And I would just like to throw in just one last group that I would just kind of like to give a little shout out to as well. And it's more on a national level. It's called FAM, and it's Families Against Mandatory Minimums.
Very good.
And they really take it up to the federal level and have worked diligently in getting laws changed or passed that have a lot of people incarcerated due to drug offenses, and they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And they go to Congress quite a bit and talk about some of those issues, and they've done really amazing things too. So I really wanted to mention them as well.
Well, I'm glad that you did, because especially our youths who get involved in experimenting or partying with drugs and alcohol, and they get on the wrong path, all of a sudden it's like they're trapped in all of this. But if they get arrested or convicted, maybe they get picked up at a party where everybody's high and so on. And the mandatory sentencing was taking the liberty of the youths that were arrested in party situations and first-time offenses still had mandatory sentencing that were completely inappropriate. And I think a lot of progress has been made to correct that problem, don't you think?
I do, and it's groups like these that really make it happen. And unfortunately, these groups start out with people just like us that usually have a person that has been incarcerated. It's the first time. Nobody knows what to do, but they know what's happening is wrong and want to make change. And I would just highly recommend people to get involved and put their energy to some of these great programs out there.
And Debbie, you're such a good example, you and your mother and everyone in your family, in fact, such a good example of how successful support can be. I don't think your brother Steve would be doing as well as he's doing if it weren't for that support, because the situation of drug and drug abuse and crime and so on, it's, I'll call it a rolling stone. It's either rolling up or it's rolling down. And if you have support, you are on the right path. And if you have no support, it's only going to be a bigger and bigger problem. And that support is so vital.
Yes, it is. And there's many out there that don't have it. And that's why we have to have these programs out there and keep funding them so that those that are kind of without any sort of family help can at least have some programs to turn to get them going and on the right path.
And I have to say to those families that are not supportive, you know, we talk about love and family. There is no doubt in my mind that a lot of loving parents, they call it tough love or they just don't understand the problem. That support can be the turning point for a youth that's in trouble. And it should not be underestimated at all. Just go for it. Give them the support and contact places like Partnerships for Safety and Justice and CURE and so on, and get the help for the young person in your family, because when you help them, you help yourselves. Your whole family situation is going to improve. And I have very strong feelings about family and family support. So, well, Debbie, I'm going to just keep you on the line for a minute while you bear with me. I wanted to give a report on Mumia Abu-Jamal. If you don't know who Mumia is, look it up on the web. The thing I want to report tonight is he's gravely ill, very, very ill, and he's not getting appropriate care or treatment or medication or help at all. And we want to keep an eye on that. And if you have the means to write letters or wave posters or start parades or anything you have to do, Mumia is very seriously ill, and he's not getting the appropriate care, and that's really sad, because Mumia has certainly contributed a lot to our community and our community, the United States. All right, so enough on Mumia. We're going to have to say goodbye in a few minutes. Is there anything else that I'm not letting you say? That?
No, like I said, we're just, as a family, grateful to you, Ruth, for getting in touch with us 10 years ago. I can't even believe that it's been 10 years. And I encourage people to make their voice heard. And if you're not that type of person that feels like you can make your voice heard, just get involved in any way you can. There's lots of ways to do it. I mentioned at least four of them today. And, Ruth, if you need any other resources, of course, you know how to get a hold of me if people need, you know, any way to find out about these groups. They're all online. And
yes, they are. Let's name them once more while we have a minute here.
Sure. So there's the Oregon CURE. There's Partnership for Safety and Justice. There's FAMM. That's FAMM. And there's the Prisoner Reentry Programs. There's Phoenix Rising. There's Mercy Corps Northwest. Also located in Portland.
Great, Debbie. Yeah. You know your resources, and you've used them, and you've used them successfully. You feel that your brother Steve is doing as well as he is because of some of the help you've gotten from these organizations. Isn't that true?
It is true. Mm-hmm. And we as a family have certainly used these resources, and they've gotten us through some really tough times.
Well, that's what we need, is we need each other, but mostly we need public opinion. You know, it's not just Debbie and I who are friends and who have taken an interest in prison issues and prisoners and justice and injustice and so on. It's the general attitude of the community. When you find out that someone who is the grocery clerk where you work, or the mechanic at the gas station that you go to, when you find out that they were incarcerated at one time, to let yourself be biased and prejudiced against them, you need educating, because folks who are on the job and doing the best they can need all the support they can get from family and community. So I think we're going to be saying good night. And Debbie, I can't thank you enough for always being willing to talk to me and talk on air about Steve. And I wish you and him and your whole family a lot of luck. And I thank you for the support that you have given to not only the folks that you're involved with, but these organizations, and to me as a person who tries to spread the word. So I'll say good night to you.
Good night, Ruth, and thank you.
Okay, and thank you.
Bye.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Rising Film Festival, August 14th and 15th at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. The Portland Rising Film Festival will spotlight animation, transmedia, feature-length, and short films to highlight